Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life.
If you were listening last week, you heard the beginnings of a conversation on the gospel and race with my friend Josh Eggerson, and that's a conversation that we hope to continue in weeks to come. So we don't want to leave that one hanging. I hope you were provoked a little bit by it, especially if you're from more of a white Caucasian background. Hope that helped you just see some issues differently from the perspective of our African-American friends and how things in our culture look different and feel different to them based on the story that they've had to endure over the past centuries. And so we hope to continue that conversation in weeks to come. As I said, Josh couldn't be with us this week. And so this week we want to dive back into a conversation we were having the week before, tying up some loose ends about masculinity. And we'd been talking about sex and gender for a number of weeks. We talked about womanhood. We had talked a little bit about manhood. We talked a couple weeks ago about how just being a man involves taking responsibility. And so we wanted to dive back into that conversation a little bit. And Mike and Dusty, you guys felt like there were some questions we didn't quite get to and that we thought we could address more thoroughly.
What are the main implications of a fatherless family?
Yeah, big question. Lots of implications. The reality is, in America right now, there's more kids growing up in single-parent homes than in married homes. Singleness is slightly higher than marriage right now in our culture, and so this is a big, big issue, and you just see huge cultural and social ramifications of it. And so I would start answering that question just by observing this, that if what we've observed about gender thus far is true, which is that God is neither male nor female, that he made us male and female in his image, and that only in our complementarity as men and women can we fully reflect the image of God, then that means in the context of a family, only in an intact family with a mom and a dad can kids get a full picture of what God's love is like. And I say that not to say that not to put you in a guilty place if you're being raised in a single-parent family or if you're trying to raise kids on your own, but just to say that all of us acknowledge there are some weaknesses and limitations to being a single parent, and there's some lack of the fullness of the picture that your kids are going to get that are going to have to be compensated for in other ways. So let's just talk about it this way. A child needs masculine love and feminine love. A child needs a male sort of presence and a female sort of presence. A child needs, in order to understand the fullness of what God's love is like, a child needs both. And so for kids who grew up without a dad or without a dad present, they've oftentimes just missed the components of, or a healthy fullness of the components of what masculine love looks like. And so here's some of the things I notice about that, and we can talk more about this, but what you tend to notice among guys who didn't have an intact father figure in the home is a little bit more insecurity, a sense of I don't quite know who I am and what it means to be a man, because everybody who writes on masculinity, whether they're Christian or secular sociologists, all say that masculine traits are learned. You know, no kid comes out of the womb knowing how to be a man. That's something they have to grow into, and that happens through modeling. And so you have guys with a lot of insecurity not really having confidence and understanding what does it mean to be masculine. And so there tends to be some insecurities that guys have. A lot of guys compensate for that because the male spirit tends to be competitive. They compensate for that by just sort of making it up as they go. And so you get a lot of pridefulness. And so when you combine insecurity and pride, what you get is guys who can be really obnoxious and don't have the humility to see that or acknowledge that or understand that. And so that's a lot of what we, I think, face is even as we shepherd in a church and disciple a lot of guys who are like that, is having to figure out how do you come at the insecurity piece and really help guys to have a sense of experiencing the Father's love, the love of God in Christ that sort of redeems those lost and those broken aspects of masculine love in their lives. And then how do you help deal with their pride and get them to be the kind of men who can humbly say, you know what, here's what I know and don't know. Here's what I'm good at and not good at. There's all kinds of sort of things in my head right now, just ways that a dad, even in how he loves his kids, deposits things into their character that that are hard to replace, and that if you haven't had that deposited, it just takes some work to understand that and see how to put those pieces together in light of God's gracious refathering of us in the gospel.
I think another thing that gets manifested out of men like that, so this is similar to me here, this is my story that you're talking about, Bob, where pride and insecurity can combine for a recipe of disaster. It comes out in self-preservation or a sense of survival skill. But I also think that a lot of men who have fatherless homes, who have grown up without that deposit that you're speaking of, tend to be frustrated about that or angry about that, but then they don't really know what to do, and so they can just blame it on the fact that they haven't grown up with that deposit or that father. And then they just tend to get stuck. And so I think it'd just be interesting to talk about that a little bit. To the men who are stuck,
yeah.
What are some thoughts, Mike, Bob, in regard to that?
Yeah, good question. And as you were talking, this thought just came to mind that, you know, it's true of your story, true of every guy's story, that what we're talking about, if you didn't have a dad who was really present, we're not just talking about a lack of skills or a lack of investment in your character. We're talking about the absence of a relationship. Okay. And so that's just a different category than, I didn't learn some things, right? I wasn't shaped in some ways, though that is also true. There's just also sort of this sense of there's a relationship I'm supposed to have that's not intact. And relationship creates a context for safe learning of things, right? So in a healthy father-son relationship, there's like, you know, you're free to like fail and learn things as you go and figure things out. And you have a dad who believes in you, but also will rebuke you. And, you know, it kind of helps give you those rails to grow up. When that's not present, I think what guys do is they just do the best they can without that, you know, but there's that sort of radical insecurity, I think, comes out of just the absence of that relationship. So we know that part of what one of the most provocative things I ever read on fatherhood was from David Pallison, who writes as a counselor, and he was talking about this sort of theory in counseling that, you know, if people didn't have a good relationship with their dad, then it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives, and, you know, what they really need is someone else to step into that role and be a parent. And he said, well, not really. What they really need is God's, you know, even somebody who had a good dad didn't have a perfect dad. So like whether you had a dad or not, what you really need is the fullness of God as father to be known in your life. And so that's the first resource the gospel gives us, is I actually have a perfect father in heaven. And part of what I need to learn is, how do I relate to him as my father? How do I experience connectedness and fellowship and communion with God, not in an abstract theological way, but in a present and a relational way? So that's the first thing the gospel gives us. And then the other thing that it brings into the picture is, I'm thinking of in Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, where he says, though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So we have a heavenly father. We also have men who, through the gospel, as we're immersed into Christian community, can become father figures for us and help with that. And so I guess I'm not answering your question very directly, because you asked more about what are the effects of, or what are the implications of fatherlessness and how they play out. I'm going more after what are the deeper, you know, lack of relationship that's there that mm-hmm. that needs to be rekindled and rebuilt. But I just think, you know, for men need to understand, every man who's listening to this podcast needs to understand, that if you had an unhealthy or a lack of strong relationship with your dad, you need to see that as a relational deficit, not a functional deficit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a relational connectedness that you missed out on, and that's deep. And so you can't fix that just by learning how to grill a steak, or, you know, learning how to cuss like a sailor, or learn how to drive a truck, or, you know, whatever those sort of classic, oh, this is a manly thing to do kind of stereotypes are. There's a relationship that's missing that needs to be mm-hmm. rekindled and restored and healed.
Yeah. And that goes to the character issue. And I think lots of guys are frustrated that the practical things didn't play out. Well, my dad never showed me how to change the oil. He never showed me the difference between a flathead and a Phillips screwdriver and those kinds of things. But the issue isn't those things. In fact, you might have learned those things. The issue is a character issue and a relational component. And by what you're talking, I was reminded of Wilson's book, Father Hunger. He says early on in that book, he says this: if we have come to Christ, we have to realize that Christ is in the Father. What does this mean if we are in him? And then he quotes from John 14:20, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." And then he says this last sentence, which is just gold. He says, "In the gospel, the fatherless are no longer." And that's just super key. And in fact, I actually think at some times, having the family situation that I had, I think I actually have benefit of relating to God the Father in different ways than guys who have grown up with maybe an intact fatherly home, because every family has blind spots, like I said earlier. And so so I think there's benefit. It can be, you can capitalize on, is what I'm saying. It's supposed to be there. That's the way God designed it. But you can't use that as an excuse to remain angry or remain frustrated and then just say, well, I don't know what to do there because I didn't have a dad. Because if you're a Christian, according to what Wilson says here and according to what Jesus says in John 14, it's your responsibility, going back to a couple weeks ago, to just figure those things out. And that's not your identity. That's not who you are if you're in Christ. And so you need to pull from imitation, from other fathers, from people around you, from your community, and just start to put those things into practice.
There's a schizophrenia in our culture that's interesting to me. So if you think just broadly about how the culture relates to this reality, we want to say, if you didn't have a dad, no big deal. You can be just, you're fine. You know, not a big deal. There's no deficits there. You know, you can grow up just fine. We want to empower kids, you know, coming from those situations. And so on the one hand, the culture says not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we also want to say, and kind of a big deal, you know, like we want to blame, right, when things go badly, we want to be able to say, well, I didn't have a dad. And so that's why I'm this way, or that's what, that has these effects in my life. And so it's almost like the culture is pulling us in both directions at once, saying it's not a big deal. But then if something goes wrong in your life, feel free to blame it on the lack of a father.
Yep.
And I think the gospel invites us to something different, to admit in God's design, I'm intended to have a human father who models to me the fatherhood of God. So that is, if I didn't have that, there is a real deficit there. There is an actual lack that needs to be made up. And it's okay to say that. I don't need to pretend like, oh, everything's fine, man. I grew up just fine, just like the guy down the street. You know, no, there's some ways in which there's different things that have been sown into my life because of that. And at the same time, that the gospel invites me to say, that's not an excuse, and that's also not a defining identity. It's not like that's who I am. That's a reality of my situation, and the gospel frees me to embrace what aspects of my character might need to get reshaped in light of that lack, and what relational deficits do I need to admit that I have and learn how the gospel begins to change and transform and make those up. So it's just interesting to me that the culture is trying to say two opposite things at once, and the gospel actually says them both in a helpful way, that it's okay to acknowledge the deficits that a lack of a father creates, and it's also okay to grow in Christ, like you're just saying out of that statement in Scripture. In Christ, it frees me to embrace the realities of my story and to be refathered by God through Jesus and in Christian community.
Right. I just think it's interesting to just keep going there on what you're saying. Whenever I meet with men, especially in our church, whenever they don't know what to do, they kind of blame it on that. You know, well, I didn't have a dad, so I don't really know how to figure out how to buy a house or, you know, figure out my finances. The reality is, practically, to do what you're saying there is to just admit, hey, I didn't have a dad, so I need some help here.
Right.
You know, so I need to throw my hands up in the air and say, this didn't come natural to me. Nobody taught me how to balance a checkbook. You know, those kinds of practical things. So therefore, could you help me in this area? You know, I do this often, not early on. But I've had to come to realize, you know what, these things don't come natural to me. And so that's one of the gaps of the fatherless relationship. And so I have to figure these things out. And so I'm not called to figure these things out on my own. That's why God gives me the church and community around me to help figure these big decisions out. Exactly a week ago today, my sixth child came into our family. And about 2 weeks prior to that, whenever we have a kid is usually when things start messing in my soul when it comes to the father thing. Usually right before we have a baby, and then for the first few weeks after, I feel the fatherlessness in my own relationship with my dad the hardest. And I think it's obvious because there's a birth going on there, and there's these deep emotional things going on with what God's blessing me with. And so therefore, I can't relate. I have no category in my head for why that didn't happen for me, right? So that's why you have to have openness. I had to have openness with my wife in that conversation and just say, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm feeling. And she was able to put her finger on it right away and say, this is why. and here's where we're at now.
Ooh, I don't want to interrupt you, but let's connect the dots there real quick, because what I think is interesting about that is you do a good job engaging the emotional realities of that and just saying, like, that's present. I need to talk to my wife about it. And you asked a few minutes ago, I think what a lot of guys do is they shut down the emotional components of that. So we talked a few weeks ago about guys being hollow. And a lot of guys, this is part of why they're hollow, is they didn't have a good relationship with their dad. But they haven't yet gone to the place of, like, let me grieve that. Let me embrace the emotional realities of that. And so there's something that men need to do that if they're going to be whole. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, they're going to be those guys who sort of shut that off and get talk, yeah, I didn't have a dad, but big deal, right? Or not, you know, you seem like you've done a good job opening up that emotionally, especially in your relationship with your wife, to where that's an okay conversation to have. We can talk about, man, I feel this right now in a particular way because we're having this baby. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think that took me a long time to get there. Because I was just emotionally constipated for a long time there. And I realized every time we had a kid, this sparks, you know, this comes up again. And there's just something radical. There's something radical about holding a baby that you wonder why these babies get left, you know, on the street in China. You wonder why, you all these wonders start going through your head, right? And if you haven't had your father you start detaching that very relationally to yourself. Now, there's a good chance that you're listening to this podcast and think, well, that wasn't my situation. Grew up in a great home. Let's talk a little bit about the blind spots that come to normal families who have decent fathers. Normal families, quote unquote. and let's just not throw those, you know, let's just not disengage and say, well, I had a dad, so I must be good. Because I still think there's blind spots for every family. And so
what do you think those are for? So let's admit there's sort of a spectrum here, right? And if God's design for family is true, then not having a father figure present would be one side of the spectrum. Having a real godly, engaged father would be the other side of the spectrum. And there's probably guys at all points along that spectrum. You know, some guys had a dad who was, like, maybe actually emotionally engaged in their life, but divorced, and so he wasn't physically present. Some guys had a dad who was present, but he was a jerk. So, you know, so as you think about that, Dusty, what are some of the, if you just shift toward the other side of that spectrum, guys who had dads present in the home, what are some of the blind spots that you identify?
I think what happens is, what I've seen is guys tend to prove themselves, they're living to now prove themselves to their fathers. And so because I've had this great example, and because my story isn't like that kid down the street whose family was jacked up, now my existence is to say thank you to dad, and somehow I have to stay like the good kid in his eye. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways that I think it plays out. I think there's a number of other ones, but you know, the other thing is your dad gave you something good. If it was a normal, again, that's a drier setting, but if it was a normal family, he gave you something good because of that relational component, but he was also very limited. He's a finite man. And so this is why you have to have other influences around you. And to be able to say, thanks, dad, and I'm going to pull this, this, and this from this other guy as well.
Well, and fatherhood, right, is human fatherhood, because it's always tainted by sin, is intended to be I think of it like as a, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but like an on-ramp, right? It's supposed to get me to understanding the fatherhood of God. And if my dad's an image bearer of the Father, and so if he did a halfway decent job, I at least can look through him to see some of what God is like. And so that's, I think, what ought to happen for men who had an intact father is it's not that there's I had a good dad, so I don't have any issues. Actually, you might have all the same issues as a guy who didn't have a dad.
Right.
But
yep.
Having a dad who's sinful is still having a dad who's sinful, and you're a person who's sinful, and so mm-hmm. sin is affecting all of us. Brokenness is affecting all of us. But what it's supposed to do is I ought to be able to more readily engage and see what God's fatherhood is like through the limited and shadowy portrayal of what my dad is like. And so there should be some analogy there that if my dad did his job, he's pointing me to God and to the fatherhood of God in some way that is helping to build for me an accurate picture of what God is like.
Douglas Wilson makes the point that whether you're doing a good job as a dad or a bad job as a dad, you're telling truths or lies about God the Father. So there's that brings the weightiness to fatherhood in a way that whatever you're doing as a dad, whether it's really good or kind of good or really bad, you're saying something about God the Father.
Mm-hmm. And that's why recognizing that for dads is the reason why we need the gospel, right? Because mm-hmm. that's weighty to think about, man, I'm shaping my children's picture of what God is like. And so all the more do I need to be quick to repent and trust and hope in the Lord. There has to be a disposition in me of acknowledging my sinfulness so that I am doing a good job helping them to trust in God and not asking them to trust in me. I think Doug Wilson is so brilliant on this stuff because he lays it down so matter-of-factly. You know, you're modeling God for your kids, and yet most men feel that as a crushing weight of like, oh, well, I don't want to screw that up. Mm-hmm. Well, the beauty is that's why Jesus died for you, is so that you can, you know, have the grace mm-hmm. to continue to just strive to do well there and have the grace of God filling up the gaps when you don't do well there.
Does God as our Father help us be better dads, or is the purpose of earthly fathering to point us to be better sons of God?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's both, right?
Because if the end of life was to just die and for our kids to say he was a good dad, you know, seems kind of forgetful. You know, like, people will forget that someday.
Sure. Yeah. But if our human relationships are eternal, mm-hmm. which they are in the family, right? And in the family of God, then if I've been a good dad to my kids, right? Proverbs says, a good name is more to be treasured than great riches, right? So, so Proverbs says, part of what I should be passing on to my kids is a good name. That there ought to be a sense of, and this is what I think the gospel-centered stuff can go wrong here, because we get so worried about like, well, I don't want to be living for my reputation and my name. Well, the Bible wants you to be. The Bible wants you to be the kind of man who's saying, I better be leaving a godly life. There better be, you know, generations of people. If there's generations of people who are affected by my life that I live, that's good news. That's not, I don't want to be the guy's like, well, that would be kind of self-glorifying, so I don't really want to do
that's
that.
Why I don't journal, man. I don't want anyone to think they need to read it, man.
Right. I mean, just like, well, how about this? How about you humble yourself and live for the glory of God, and you recognize that living for the glory of God also means leaving a godly legacy and being an example for people. It's not a either or. It's a both and that's where the right kind of godliness recognizes, yeah, I'm a flawed, sinful, fallen image bearer of God. So I hope my kids see more than just he was a good dad. If yeah. that's all they say about me, yeah. that's not good. Yeah. But I hope that they say, because he was a good dad, I had a good picture of who the Father was. And you know what I mean? And my dad in some appropriate way imaged for me mm-hmm. a good and healthy relationship with the Father.
Can you unpack a little bit the eternality, I don't even know if that's a word, but the eternalness of our relationships. Can you talk about that?
Well, I mean, again, if we believe in the resurrection of the body, new heavens and new earth, my children are never not going to be my children, in the sense of they're never not going to be related to me. Their existence and their personhood is derives from their mother and me. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be eternally true, right? Because we know that the family is eternal. I mean, it's not like in heaven all these distinctions go away and we're all just sort of like random human beings. We're human beings who are related to one another in Adam, we know, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's one family descended from Adam. There's the spiritual family that's in Christ, and the physicality of our human families in some way is preserved and replicated in the new heavens and new earth. And so I'm just saying that to say, we don't know all the contours of what that looks like, but I do know that it's not like, For instance, if I'm in heaven and my parents are, I'm still going to be there. So like, I don't know how I would have an identity apart from Bob and Ruth Thune and those two people who made me, you know. Right. So it's not possible for us to think about identity apart from the family that we're connected to. We don't have identity that's non-derivative of other human beings. And so I'm just saying that's what it means to be human. Therefore, that is eternal. And so though we don't know the fullness of sort of how all those things work out and play out in the new heavens and the new earth, God's left some of that shadowy for us until we get there to experience the beauty of it. It's certainly true that those family relationships are still going to be present.
So just for clarification's sake, the relationships that we have, marriages, relationships with people in the church, they aren't just analogies for something eternal, but there's something real that we will experience.
Yeah, they are analogies for something eternal, but I think they're also more than that. Because,
both.
Right, and people misread that the parable of Jesus where he says, you know, in heaven they won't marry or be given in marriage, but they'll be sons. They'll be like the angels in heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means entirely, but it doesn't mean that, you know, I won't recognize my wife. Like, it might mean our relationship is different in some way, some sort of really beautiful spiritual, you know, mystical way. But I think I'll still recognize. Oh, you're Lee. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be weird if that wasn't the case.
Yeah. The reality is, fatherlessness is all over our culture, and so if you actually just start to look for it, you will see it very quickly. It shows up in the workplace, it shows up in churches, it shows up in church leaders, and it actually doesn't take you very long to listen to a preacher to realize. Where this guy might have come from in his family and what he understands about God the Father. It doesn't take you very long in the workplace to understand who had a healthy relationship with their father, who didn't, who doesn't have a father. You can just feel it and you can see it in people. And so I want to encourage the Christians to start looking for that and to also realize that if you grew up in fatherlessness, it's okay to now take responsibility for that. Look at your blind spots, ask for help along the way. And then if you grew up with a decent dad, a guy who didn't just provide but was present, he came to your baseball game, he came to your soccer game, he came to your dance recital, all of that stuff, which was all really good, it's okay to realize too that that probably had some gaps. And so now don't blame those gaps. Look for those gaps and then look to imitate and to find how that points you to Christ along the way.
Guys, thanks for talking about all these things today. For those of you that are part of Coram Deo, we want to encourage you to go to cdomaha.com and encourage the guys to register for the men's retreat that's coming up here in September pretty soon. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister your own context. Please join the conversation by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again on the Wednesday conversation.
Thank you for listening.